We're back with the Gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell, and we're taking your calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Let me read a few of the things that people have been writing in. Joe in Brooklyn said, I had someone come to serve my air conditioners, which are window ACs that are 12 years old. The guy, I guess it was service, the guy took one look at them and said they are very old and that the compressors were about to fail. They quoted a price of $500 each to replace the compressors and $1,200 each to replace, the air conditioners. What should I do? Wait for them to fail? Spend the money to repair them or replace them?
I have to say that, not disparaging any contractors or service people, but it always seems that replacement is the thing they want to do.
But for $1,200?
Right.
And that's a lot of
money.
But
I also don't know what he's describing here, whether he's describing, what did he say, a window unit or a wall unit?
Window ACs.
Window ACs. That seems very unusual. I mean, I think that especially right now, there are amazing buys out there.
They sell for a couple hundred dollars.
Exactly. But I don't know how big this room is. But as far as I'm concerned, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
If it's still putting out cooling power, yes. If you're getting a temperature drop of 20 degrees below the ambient room temperature, so if the room temperature is 80 degrees, you should have 60 degrees coming out of the air conditioner, you're doing okay.
But, Larry, mm-hmm. If they are old air conditioners, aren't they less efficient?
Well,
so your electric bill is higher, isn't
that,
it?
That's true, too. But the cost of replacement is not cost-effective to what you're going to gain by a new efficient unit. The idea is to use it's actually ecologically more feasible to let the unit run until it dies.
Because then we're creating creating more greenhouse gases by having to produce a new one, throwing the old one away, having to pump down that unit. But the other thing I wanted to say about that is we're talking about a 12-year-old unit. So we're going back to what? To 1999. By then we were already on the kick of making things more efficient. So it's not like we're talking about a 30-year-old unit sitting here that's horribly inefficient. And the other thing I wanted to also say is that about servicing units, this is actually a good time for people with central air conditioning systems, split systems, ductless systems, to actually have the service guy come in and check the refrigerant levels.
Yes,
on that. Because right, that will actually affect efficiency and productivity quite a bit.
Yeah. Amir from Piscataway is on the line. Hi, Amir.
Hi, Amir.
Hello. How are you?
What's up?
I have a question. I'm changing my carpets to hardwood flooring.
Mm-hmm.
And I already did a couple of rooms.
Yes.
And I noticed that the building is around 25 years old.
Yes.
And the middle of the beams have sagged by quarter an inch or half an inch up to. In the new room I discovered, it's a little more.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how could I level these floors? I have researched it and looked at self-leveling cement.
Right.
Some people said don't use that. Use cork flooring to put more layers to level the floor. Which one do you think is the best approach or any other method you would recommend?
Well, the one I like is U.S. Gypsum makes a product called Level Rock. Now, the problem with using this material, it's basically what it does is you pour it out on the floor and it finds its own level. The problem with this material is you got to make sure there are no holes in the floor. Because if there are any holes anywhere in the floor, this self-leveling material will find that hole and it'll all drain out through that hole. So this material was designed for re-leveling floors, especially where they're pouring concrete floors. And a lot of times, they're not, especially if the concrete pour is poured on a Friday afternoon or after lunch, maybe at a beer, and it doesn't come out so level anymore. So they created this material to get it level again. I've been on a lot of jobs where there have been controversies about that. So that's one way. The cork solution actually would work also, and you don't have to worry about that issue.
But my floors are already plywood, the second floor.
Oh, they're already plywood.
Yes. The cork should be probably a better approach.
As far as sagging about a quarter of an inch or a half inch, it may be disconcerting, but as long as the beams are viable, I don't believe in adding any more material than the material is necessary, because that reduces the live load because it's increasing the dead load. And this is not a good thing for us, for any kind of wood framing of an older building. But The cork, which is very light in weight itself, is probably a better method if it's done properly.
And or you could do this with, if this is just a confined area of the floor, if it's not the whole floor, actually doing some building up a flash patch in that area, which is basically a plaster-like material that will set up some like a concrete material, not very heavy. They make it in lightweight. And then you could fill that area in and get it even again. I would actually have to see what the space looks like. But there are several ways to do it. And by feather, you can use it by feathering some veneers on there, building it up. There are plenty of ways. So whichever works best for you is fine. But I do like the self-leveling stuff. I think that stuff's really cool.
Thank you, Amir.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Edward in New Jersey writes, I was looking into filtered water tap for my kitchen sink. I went with a regular three-stage filter. Along the way, I learned that the top-of-the-line reverse osmosis systems waste at least 4 gallons of water to generate 1 gallon of filtered water. In some cases, much, much more. Mm-hmm. This seems ridiculous, and I'm wondering if any states or municipalities restrict their use or if there's any movement to do so.
I'm not sure.
That I'm not sure enough. I haven't looked into
that. But have you
that.
Heard that it uses up so much water?
Well, the, reverse osmosis does use up a lot of water because it has to. It uses the water to cleanse the water. It's a water is a strange material, and people don't realize it. It's really it's made up of oxygen and hydrogen, but they're like millions of little marbles, and they roll around, and they use that as far as the reverse osmosis is concerned. So there is a waste of water.
And
to get the
where is he from? This letter.
I don't remember.
Okay,
I got rid of it. I'm
sorry. Okay, sorry, Nick.
Sorry about that, but we would have to study that a little bit better. I'm not into that water conservation. More into any actual physical energy like oil, gas, and things like that.
He just said he was in New Jersey, by okay. the way, I'm informed. Mm-hmm. Mel from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Mel.
I built a deck behind in my backyard about 15 years ago. And every year it's treated lumber, and every year I brush it down and wash it, mm-hmm. and put on a preservative. But last year I didn't, and this year, actually after the winter, the wood came up shinier and nicer. And I was wondering if I should keep doing that because the preservative makes it a lot darker.
Well, the most important thing about any wood decking and anything else like that is that the wood itself has to have an opportunity to breathe out any moisture that falls on top of the wood sections like snow, rain, and what have you. Mm-hmm. If you don't coatings, I'm not crazy about, but mineral oil treatments work very, very well, mm-hmm. such as cuprinol. Or with boiled linseed oil or lemon oil, mm-hmm. and these kind of things really prevent the wood from rotting, and that's exactly what you're trying to do. And the treated lumber, which is done in a special chemical bath, should last a long time. What you're doing is the right thing, and continue to do what you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but I agree with you. Using less preservatives on wood outside, especially if this is a pressure-treated deck, is really not called for because it already has preservatives in it. So you don't really need to put more preservatives in the wood.
Thank you so much for your call. We mm-hmm. go now to Tim from Fairfield, Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, gents. How you doing?
Good.
Quick question about air conditioning. My I grew up with no air conditioning. Mm-hmm. In my house, and I'm one of the people.
You don't know what you've missed.
Well, my wife tells me what I've been missing all the time, and that's kind of my point. I have a question. I've got a knee-jerk reaction against air conditioning in the sense that I don't. People talk about needing it, and my thing is, well, we don't need it. You want it, and I mean, apart from the people that are very infirm or the elderly or that sort of thing, it is a luxury. But as far as the efficiency and the environmental effect of the electricity that it gets used for, it, I mean, what is the state of? We also live, I should say, in a very old house that just bleeds energy.
But what's
painfully?
What's your question?
Well, my question is the units that are available, because it would be a window unit.
Yes.
I can install central. The units that are available now, how much energy do they use? What is their impact on the economy, on, you know, as far as their cost and the environment?
Well, you have to realize that that's an incredibly loaded question, because it depends on also the size of the space for cooling and all of that.
But they do give you efficiency ratings at the store, don't they?
They do give you efficiency ratings at the store, and they also give you an idea of how much a yearly cost is going to be. But obviously, it always affects, like, how warm you keep the room. I mean, if you keep the room at 75, you're going to save a ton of money. Me, I'm a 70-degree kind of person, so I'm going to be spending much more, and I'm going to have more impact on the environment.
Absolutely.
And on the economy than a person who keeps their temperature. Oh, they only turn it on when it gets to 85. Okay, you're going to save a lot more money. But you do want to go for the numbers, the energy efficiency numbers, and that's really the most important thing.
No question about it. But it's also, you should understand, the larger the room, the more efficient the air conditioning works.
Because also, you're keeping it on high.
And also, when you buy an air conditioning unit, do not buy an air conditioning unit with the BTU rating higher than is recommended. It is better to go lower than it's recommended, so you could take advantage of the dehumidification that takes place as a result of the air conditioning. Because if you lower the relative humidity in the space that you're air conditioning, you will feel cooler at higher temperatures.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying get a smaller air conditioner than a bigger one.
Yeah, oversizing air conditioning is a big mistake.
We have time barely for one more question, but mm-hmm. this woman seems really in a bad situation. Rita in Tribeca says, there's a mystery smell in my house. I've lived in an old, under-repaired loft building for 2 years now. It's a raw space, and there were four other apartments, one above and three below mine. I've learned to dread the advent of warmer weather because of an absolutely unbearable pestilential stink that arises when the temperatures get higher. It's concentrated in the front of the house. I know my neighbor upstairs has the same problem. We thought that a pipe leak is a possibility, but the kitchens and bathrooms of all five apartments are on the opposite side of the house. Air purifiers, exhaust fans, all kinds of odor masking contraptions. Nothing works. Please help.
Okay, this is something that takes a building analysis. I mean, the easiest way to say let's fix it is actually to pressurize the apartment and then, you know, push air into the apartment so it pushes whatever smell out of the apartment. But that may not be a viable solution. It really would take someone to come in there, do a consulting on it, and analyze where the smell is coming from and how to deal with it.
And also what kind of smell it is.
So who
does
she call?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Who does she call?
She needs to call a person who does consulting on interior buildings. That could be an engineer, an architect, a home inspector. It could be a bunch of people who have knowledge of this type of thing.
Now, a lot of people are going to send me emails, but they should send
don't
them to
send
you,
them,
Larry.
Don't send them to you. And I get these web contacts, and they don't work. So you want to send them to Larry@ubell.com. You can check us out at www.accurabuilding.com and follow me on Larry Ubell on Twitter. You can get me there. And
they should include a phone number
always,
if they have a question.
Yes.
Always a phone number.
And I want to thank both of you who will be back on May 11th here today. What will happen?
We will come back again and show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.